while I wasn't an alcoholic, I was still living at only 50% capacity. And now that I've quit drinking, and now that I'm helping thousands of people around the world quit drinking for 30 days, I'm able to feel a lot happier, a lot more productive, and I'm able to make money from my business as well.
Welcome to A Second Chance. For the most positive and uplifting time on the radio, stay tuned and get in tune with Second Chance Radio.
Welcome to A Second Chance Podcast. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with James Swanick, the author of the 30-Day No Alcohol Challenge, helping people reduce or quit using alcohol. He will be sharing his own personal second chance story with you just after I tell you a bit about his professional life. He is an Australian-American entrepreneur, a speaker, the CEO of Swanick Sleep, and creator of Blue Light Blocking Glasses, helping people sleep better. He has interviewed celebrities including Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, George Clooney, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. He has been interviewed on podcasts such as Art of Charm, Entrepreneur on Fire, and appeared in places such as Huffington Post and Psychology Today. Wow, his time is in high demand. James, thank you for taking the time out of your day to share your story with us. Please take a minute to tell us a bit about yourself so everyone can get to know you.
Thank you, Gina. Well, yeah, I'm Australian-American and I grew up in Brisbane, Australia. I went to London, England when I was 23 as a journalist. I actually used to be a newspaper journalist. And then I made a big mistake and I fell in love with a British woman and she broke my heart. And so I got on a plane and flew over to Los Angeles, America for no particular reason other than I wanted to mend my broken heart. And I ended up finding a way to get a green card and become a naturalized citizen in the US. And I've been here for about 15 years now. I was a sports center anchor on ESPN, hosting a TV show for a while. I started a business and then lost a business in the financial crisis in 2008. I quit drinking entirely in 2010. And now I help social drinkers around the world quit alcohol for 30 days. And then I also have another business where I help people sleep better. And we sell sleeping products through my company, Swanick Sleep. So yeah, it's been a bit of a journey across a few different continents and, you know, losing some businesses and having my heart broken and a few ups and downs. But now I make it my point to help as many people as I can while living an entrepreneurial lifestyle at the same time.
I just love that you're so honest about the ups and downs in life, because people here are quite often feeling like they're in that down point, and you're just proof that you can get there to do whatever it is you dream. And now I ask you to take us to your second chance story. Take us to the moment in time that you would consider the worst part of your second chance story. We will share what you learned.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. I mean, one of the big changes in my life was deciding to quit alcohol for 30 days. And what ended up happening was that I ended up quitting alcohol entirely. So I was always what society might call a social drinker, in that, you know, I might have a couple drinks at the end of each day. You know, maybe on the weekend I'd have a few more drinks, but I never felt like I was an alcoholic. I never felt like it was that big of a problem. However, I did notice that I'd put on about 25 pounds over the course of a year or so just from, you know, casual social drinking. And in 2010, I woke up in a hotel room in Austin, Texas, and I looked in the mirror and I was like, you know what, you just kind of look and feel like a 5 out of 10. It wasn't like I had real trauma in my life. It wasn't like anything awful, shocking was happening in my life. It's just nothing great was happening in my life either. And what I realized was that just having a couple of drinks every night was making me just a little bit irritable and slowing me down just a little bit and making me just a little bit unhappy and not being able to save just a little bit more money. And I realized that the alcohol really was keeping me at a 5 out of 10. And so I decided to quit for 30 days. And in 30 days, I lost 13 pounds. I slept better, my skin improved, I had more clarity, I started attracting a much higher caliber of person into my life. I just realized that my friendships started to improve and these new friendships would come in. And then that that one habit of changing the habit of not drinking led into all these other habits around eating well, exercising regularly, and learning how to meditate and going to self-development programs and reading more books and not sitting on the sofa watching TV. And it really was just a huge catalyst for change. Just breaking one habit, like setting in motion a whole chain of events where I just started breaking a lot of bad habits and replacing them with new habits. So I think while I wasn't an alcoholic, I was still living at only 50% capacity. And now that I've quit drinking, and now that I'm helping thousands of people around the world quit drinking for 30 days, I'm able to feel a lot happier, a lot more productive, and I'm able to make money from my business as well. So that was really the change for me.
Now, would you share with us just a couple of features of the change that you've seen in the thousands of people that you're helping?
Yeah, I've had people who've reconnected with their children. You know, they had relationships with their children that were strained. And then because they quit alcohol for 30 days and then either reduced alcohol thereafter or quit entirely, they were able to have deeper connections with their kids. I've had a woman come up to me in Austin, and she walked up to me and she said, "You're James Swanick, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I took your 30-day no alcohol challenge program and it saved my marriage to my husband. My husband and I were both drinking. We weren't drinking a lot, but we were drinking enough that we were kind of fighting on occasion. And then we were both thinking about separating. And in that month of not drinking, we reconnected, we talked, we had depth of conversation, and now my marriage has never been better." And I was like, "Wow, that's amazing." I've had one gentleman who was in his 50s lose 40 pounds. And he used to have acid reflux, which I'm not quite sure what it is, but he had some kind of health issues. And after 6 months of not drinking, his cholesterol levels dropped, his blood pressure dropped, his triglyceride levels dropped, and now he just looks lean and energetic, and just, you know, it's night and day, the difference in him. So it's not just quitting the alcohol. It's quitting the alcohol and eating better and exercising and just feeling happier. And when you feel happier, you attract happier people into your life. And there's lots of spin-off effects from that.
Will you take us just a little bit deeper into that? If someone has just experienced a trauma and they're looking to surround themselves with those type of people, I'd love to hear a little more about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've just literally finished a self-development program in Long Beach, California, which was 4 or 5 days long. And in that program, they teach you to really understand why you think the thoughts you do and why you act the way that you do. And I went into this program and thinking, and I walked in and I saw like the 40 or 50 other people who were doing it, and I immediately started judging people. And I was like, "Oh, I don't, you know, these aren't my people. That guy's super overweight and unhealthy, whereas I'm really healthy. I don't have anything in common with him." Or, you know, even like even to do with race, it's kind of like, "Oh, there's that person's obviously Hispanic. I don't really speak Spanish, and I probably don't have anything in common with that person." Mm-hmm. And I realize all these judgments. And then by the end of it, by the end of day 4 or 5, you're hugging these people and you're committing to helping them for the rest of your life. And they're texting you and they're saying thank you. And the people that you were judging on day one are now your best friends. So I think, now that's just an example of me doing like a 4 or 5 day seminar, but that's the kind of stuff that can happen when you decide to make a change in one area of your life. For me, I decided to stop drinking, and that led me down a path of doing self-development work that got me into a room with 40 or 50 strangers who I initially judged, but then 4 or 5 days later ended up connecting with and looking into their eyes and hugging them and committing to being friends with them. So like I said, if you can just make one little change in your life, break one bad habit, it will unleash a whole host of amazing habits.
I just love that way of looking at it. Now we're going to move to taking a closer look. What about you personally changed the most from this experience?
It was really the quality of my friendships. So it wasn't the quantity, it was the quality. I have I hugged my father for the first time in 30 years because I understood vulnerability, and I finally learned how to admit to people that I'm not perfect and that I make mistakes and that I need help. And I told my brother that I loved him, and my brother told me that he loved me back. And we never say that in our family, never. I also cried in front of a woman for the first time, and talked about how I felt like I was wearing a mask the whole time. So I was living my life pretending like I had all of my stuff together, like I was strong and nothing fazed me, and I was a leader and I was an alpha male. But then having done some work on myself, I realized that if I was just vulnerable and opened up and shared my fears or my self-doubts with a woman or with anyone, then I can create a much deeper connection with that person. And so, you know, growing up in an Australian society where Australian masculinity is very much, you know, just get on with it and deal with it and don't show emotion, it was hard for me to finally be vulnerable and show emotion. But when I did, I realized and appreciated a far deeper connection than I ever thought possible.
Wow. What wisdom would you share that you have gained?
The main thing really is to research the word vulnerability and to understand what that is. And then once you understand what it means, to practice it. And I was always the person who would never show weakness. I always would paint a picture that I had everything together. But as soon as I started just talking and admitting concerns or fears or self-doubt, I realized that other people started liking me more and connecting with me more and wanting to help me more.
Yeah.
And the depth of friendship was far, far deeper than when it was just, you know, I guess pretending, which is more surface level. I just realized that my relationships, whether they're platonic or romantic or with family or friends or colleagues, I just realized that being vulnerable with people really does ultimately make you happier and give you just a greater sense of peace.
Could you share one of your personal habits that have contributed to being successful with this?
Whenever I'm in a conversation now with anyone, whether it's a new person, and I think the habit I have is really listen. So don't stop trying to strategize on how I can exit the conversation. It's really now just, okay, be engaged, really listen to what they're saying, and don't be so eager to try and respond and you know, insert your own story or your own opinion into, you know, in response to whatever they've just shared with you. Because there's a difference between listening to someone and then listening with the strategy of eagerly wanting to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in any new conversation now, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to connect with this person and really listen. And when I feel myself wanting to insert some kind of commentary into the conversation, I hold back and I just shut up and I just listen. And then I pause and then I respond. And I think that's been a big change for me. And what that does is that people really appreciate it when you listen, because it demonstrates to them that you care. And when they feel like you care, they in turn then care about you.
Do you find it takes a little bit of the pressure off of you, that you don't feel that you're always having to solve people's problems when they come to you?
Yeah, that's a big one, because one of the big mistakes I made, certainly in my romantic relationships with women for many years, was trying to solve their problems. And then I realized that, you know, after many years, that many women, not all, but many women didn't want their problems solved. They just wanted me to empathize with them about their problems. And so as men, we want to solve problems, right? Like there's a problem, we want to solve it.
Yes.
And we're very direct. It's like, right, what's the goal? Okay, how do we get there in the quickest way? Whereas what I realized was, especially with women, and again, I'm not generalizing, but with many of the women that I came across, what I realized is that as soon as I just shut up and stopped trying to solve the problems and instead said things like, wow, I'm really sorry, that must be really hard for you. Like, I can really understand why you would be upset with that. Oh, I'm so sorry. They really appreciated that so much more. And I was like, huh, man, all I got to do is just not solve their problems and just listen and genuinely empathize with them. And I got a greater sense of connection with them. So that was a big lesson for me.
So incredible. Definitely powerful. Can you share a resource like a podcast or a book that you couldn't have made it without?
I'm going to selfishly say my own podcast, which is the James Swanick Show, but not because I think that my show's so good or I'm such a great interviewer, but just simply because, you know, I interviewed more than 300 people on that show, from New York Times bestselling authors to very successful business owners to Hollywood celebrities like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jennifer Aniston and people like that. And so it was a great resource for me because every time I interviewed someone, I got to ask them their secrets to success or their life lessons. And so implanting 300 people's success habits into my brain was just invaluable to me. So I'll selfishly say my own podcast, The James Swanick Show. But if pressed to come up with another show, there's a show called The Art of Charm, hosted by a guy called Jordan Harbinger. And he also gets a lot of great guests on the show, which I found a lot of use from.
I will link both of those into the show notes at everydayisasecondchance.com. And now we'd love to know, what is the one thing that you are most passionate about today?
I'm most passionate about all of the new relationships in my life. And that's because 3 days ago, I was screaming inside of a Long Beach hotel room in front of 40 or 50 strangers, screaming about what I wanted for my life and how I'm going to make things happen. And I'm doing it with certainty. And I got rid of a lot of the fear that I've had in my life. And so even this morning, when I ran along Santa Monica Beach in California, I said to myself when I started the run, I'm just going to say good morning to 5 people when I'm on this run. And so I did. I ended up saying good morning to about 10 people. All it took was for me to look them in the eye as I ran past them, smile and say, good morning, good morning. And that one little habit just put me in such a good mood. I was like, oh, I'm smiling to people. I'm getting a dopamine release. Mm-hmm. I'm getting serotonin release from having people saying good morning back to me. I'm running in the sunshine. I'm running next to water and to a beach. But even just that relationship, relationships with strangers, relationships with people I'll never see again because I ran past them and they walked past me, just that little half-second smile and good morning was enough to just make me feel better in the day. So I'm really passionate about bringing that same level of enthusiasm to relationships with loved ones, my mother, my father, my brothers, my romantic partner, my Uber driver, the barista at Starbucks, my cousins, my colleagues, my staff. I'm really enthusiastic and excited about really connecting with them on a much deeper and happier level.
Well, James, your story has really inspired me today, and I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Before we say goodbye, I'd like to ask you if you could share a parting piece of guidance and let people know where they could connect with you or find your most recent work.
So I live by 2 mottos. One of them is just do it, and the other one is do it now. And I really like that because there's things that we know we want to do and we know that we're going to do, but then we don't do it for many years or could be weeks or months or, you know, sometimes decades. So I like to say do it now, which is like now, because otherwise things just seem to get postponed and pushed back all the time, don't they? So I like just do it and do it now. And if you'd like to learn more about my 30-day no alcohol challenge program, then you can go to 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com, where I coach people how to quit alcohol for 30 days and beyond. And you can join a really fun, positive community there of people around the world who are also doing their challenge. And then my sleep company, where I help people sleep better, is at swanwicksleep.com. It's SWANWICK, so swanwicksleep.com. And you can find me at swanwicksleep.com, 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com, or on my Instagram social media, which is just James Swanick, my Instagram handle and Facebook.
Excellent. Well, everything again will be linked into the show notes for the listeners to easily find at everydayisasecondchance.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Second Chance Radio
for the most positive and uplifting time on the radio.
So tune in again with your host of Second Chance Radio.
Second Chance Radio.